Good afternoon. My work comes from literature reviews that were done in sub-Saharan Africa, so specifically targeting sub-Saharan Africa. So why sub-Saharan Africa? Well, apart from the fact that I'm from Africa, I think it's interesting to do research in sub-Saharan Africa because per capita food crop production is declining in Africa, and this is mostly because of nutrient mining. So if we look at the figure on the left where we have food production, in the rest of the world we find that food production is increasing, whereas in Africa it's decreasing. And it's quite common to see pictures like I have on the right, where you have malnutrition affecting particularly children under the age of 5 because there is not enough food. So this is largely because of soil fertility decline. Well, in sub-Saharan Africa, the agriculture is based on nutrient mining, where crop production is not coupled with addition of nutrients. So on this map, you can see that in most of the areas, you tend to have high nutrient depletions. High to very high nutrient depletions in East Africa, West Africa, and even in Central Africa. It's just in places like South Africa where you have addition of adequate nutrients. So this has caused serious problems with soil fertility, and it is widely accepted that soil fertility is the most serious biophysical constraint to food security in the region. This is because of fertilizer use. Well, if you look at this figure, only about 9 kilograms of nutrient fertilizer is used per hectare, whereas in other countries you have quite high rates of fertilizer use. And this is because although in Africa we have a lot of people that are living on less than 65 cents per day, fertilizer costs are quite high. They are about 2 to 4 times greater than the fertilizer costs that we have in other countries. So this has caused the low fertilizer use in sub-Saharan Africa, and this has resulted in the mining of nutrients. But we do have alternative sources of nutrients in the form of organic nutrients, such as the livestock and green manures, and these have been important for soil fertility amelioration. Residues such as Dithonia diversifolia, Calliandra, and the manures, they are quite useful in sub-Saharan Africa, but their availability is very low. We don't have enough quantities of the organic materials, and in many instances the quality of those organic materials is poor, such that their addition to the soil will also limit crop production. Just to give an example of a classical paper given by Cheryl Palm, she and the other authors came up with this decision support system for organic matter management based on nitrogen. So they said if you have an organic material that has greater than 2.5% nitrogen, but has less than 15% lignin and also less than 4% polyphenol, it is considered to be high quality or class one material. And an example is Dithonia diversifolia. And they recommend to incorporate directly because the nutrient release from such organic materials is equal to that of fertilizers. But if you have that organic material that has more than 2.5% nitrogen, but has either greater than 15% lignin or greater than 4% polyphenol, in this case, we have an example of Calliandra calothiasis, which has more than 4% polyphenol content. It's considered to be intermediate quality. The polyphenols tend to bind the nitrogen such that the nutrient release will be much slower. Whereas on the other hand, if you have less than 2.5% nitrogen, but have less than 15% lignin, that is also considered to be intermediate quality, but it's a different sort of quality with this class 2. So this is class 3 organic material. For example, the maize or the wheat residues, they tend to fall in that category. the nutrient release is influenced by the C2N ratio, which is quite high and reduces the nitrogen release. Whereas if you have low quality organic material, which has low nitrogen, high lignin content, it tends to be very poor quality, and its application in the soil will affect nutrient release, and the recommendation is to surface apply for soil moisture, soil and water conservation. So based on this, most of the organic materials that are available on smallholder farms falls in this region, the class 2 and the class 3 organic materials. Very rarely do we have organic materials that are in this class. So the recommendation is to mix these residues with mineral fertilizers. And it's this mixing or the combining of organic and mineral nutrient fertilizers which forms the basis of integrated soil fertility management. Integrated soil fertility management, or ISFM, is a set of soil fertility management practices which necessarily includes the combined addition of organic and mineral nutrient sources, but it also means the use of improved germplasm. The improved germplasm can also include the OPVs, and the knowledge to adapt these practices to local conditions. And this often leads to aiming at maximizing agronomic use efficiency of the applied nutrients and improving crop productivity. And this concept is part of sustainable agricultural intensification. So just as a concept of integrated soil fertility management, it's supposed to make entry points in different scenarios, the adaptation to the different, to the local environment. If we look at, the y-axis is the agronomic efficiency, and this is the stages as we move towards integrated soil fertility management. So the current practice is the farmer practice, where there are no addition of nutrients and the farmers use retained seed. So you find that the crop production will be low under those conditions. But we have different scenarios. Scenario A, where we have a responsive soil in that it has enough sort of nutrient base, but not enough for the plants, but enough to be responsive to the added nutrients. So such that when you change from the current practice, you use improved germplasm and fertilizer, you move from this level to the next level, and then when you combine the fertilizers with the organic material, you move to the higher level, and then when you adapt this to the local environment, the local adaptation may be in the form of water management, rainwater harvesting, or lime in case of acid soils. And then when you have non-responsive soils, you change from the current practice to the addition of to the use of germplasm and fertilizer, you tend to find that you don't have any improvement in crop yields. But if you change this scenario by adding organic material to improve the soil organic matter, you tend to improve the crop yields. You tend to start having the response to the fertilizers or to the added material, and then when you adapt to the local conditions, you also improve the crop productivity and the agronomic efficiency. So the work I'm presenting today is based on two meta-analyses that were done. One was looking at the objective was to provide a comprehensive and quantitative synthesis of conditions under which organic resources, nitrogen fertilizers, and the combined application of the two would positively or negatively influence maize productivity in smallholder farming systems. And then the second was to look at the nitrogen agronomic efficiency under integrated soil fertility management in sub-Saharan Africa. So for methods, in the first meta-analysis, we used 51 studies, whereas in the second study, we used 91 studies, and both from sub-Saharan Africa. And then in the second study, we also used data from the nutrient response database in East Africa for those that met the criteria that we were looking at. For the first meta-analysis, for both meta-analysis, the data had to be from smallholder conditions, under smallholder agriculture, under rain-fed conditions. And for the first study, we needed to have the addition of organic resources and mineral resources in the form of fertilizers, and these should have been added alone or in combination with each other. And then in some instances, we had multiple seasons where we had repeated application of the resources, or we had studies that were looking at the residual effects of either the fertilizers or the organic materials. And in both cases, maize was used as the main crop. So we had different categorical variables that we had, because our study was not going to look at the continuous variables for meta-analysis. So we had soil texture, where we had sand, loam, clay, and then we looked at the mean annual precipitation, and then the organic resource class, and this is based on the organic resource decision tool that I showed you earlier. And then we had different rates of nitrogen that were added using the organic resource, where we had less than 30 kilograms nitrogen, which forms a part of the linear part of the response curve, which is low. And then we had medium, which is 31 to 100. And then we had those studies where more than 100 kilograms of nitrogen were added. And we used the same for the mineral nitrogen, and also for the total nitrogen added. And then we had also the duration or the time under the different management as 1 year, 2 to 3 years, and more than 4 years. So if we look at the first study, we see that when organic resources are added to the soil, we improve crop yields by about 60%. So there's an increase in crop yield or maize yield by about 60%. So on the y-axis here, I have the number of data points. I have more data points than the number of studies, because in some studies you have repeated measures, you have more observations. That's why you have more data points than the number of studies. And then here is the percent yield response over the control. And we use the natural response, the natural log of the response ratio. So the mean of the treatment divided by the mean of the control. So 60% increase when you use organic resources alone. And then when you use fertilizers alone, you have about 95% increase in crop yields. But you have more than a doubling of crop yields when you add the combined organic resources and nitrogen fertilizers. But when we look at the agronomic efficiency, we find that, yes, you can you improve the agronomic end use efficiency from about 13 to about 23 when you change from organic resources to fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer. But when you combine the two, you have much less in terms of the agronomic end use efficiency. And I think this is mostly because in most of the studies, the total nitrogen that was added by the combined treatment was quite high, such that you tend to have the diminishing returns in terms of the extra grain yield you get with the nitrogen added. And then when we looked at the organic resources versus the control, so this is organic resource added alone, but looking at the quality, and this is disaggregated by texture. At the top here, I have all the textures combined. You find that when you add low quality organic resources, there is no response, and these bars represent the 95% confidence interval, and the dot is the mean effect size or the percent yield response over the control. So when you add low quality organic resources or less class 4, there is no response in crop yields. But when you add class 3, you tend to have about 55% increase in crop yields. And then when you add class 2 organic resources, you have close to 100% or close to a doubling of the crop yields. And there's no difference between class 1 and class 2. This was a bit surprising for us, because we expected class 2 and class 1 to be different because of the polyphenol effects. But when we look at clay soils, we find that we do tend to have greater crop responses with class 2 than with class 1 organic resources, maybe because the organic resources, they decompose a lot faster, and then the nitrogen is lost, so there is no, the use efficiency of the nitrogen is much lower. But obviously that needs to be confirmed with further studies. And then with the loamy soils, there is not really much of a difference, but we see that there is a tendency to increase in crop yields as we move from the lower quality to the high quality. And then when we move to the sandy soils, you find that in when you add low quality organic resources, you actually decrease the crop yields, because the sandy soils, they have low nitrogen or low nutrient base to begin with, such that when you add a low quality organic resource, you tend to immobilize all the nutrients that are there, such that the response to the addition of the organic resource is negative. Whereas you find that there's an increase in crop yields with increase in quality. So this is fairly similar to the figure that I just showed earlier, except this one is looking at the total nitrogen that was added through the organic resources, where as you increase the nitrogen that you add to the soil, you tend to increase the responses in all the cases. But when we look at the agronomic efficiency, we find that the soil fertilizer will tend to have greater agronomic efficiency than the soil organic resources when we look at class 1 and class 3 and class 4 combined. The only one that's not statistically different from the fertilizer is the class 2 organic resources. And this is, again, a bit different from the yield responses that we have observed, where we find that the class 1 and class 2 are similar, but when we look at the nitrogen agronomic efficiency, we find that class 2 will have greater agronomic efficiency, and we believe that this is because of the slow release of the nutrients, such that the timing or the demand and the supply of the nutrients is more matched than when you apply class 1 organic resources. And then the other component that we observed was that manures, farmyard manures and compost, they tend to behave differently. They actually have greater nutrient or nitrogen agronomic efficiency than the fertilizer, maybe because these are already decomposed, such that the release of nutrients is different from the other resources that are not decomposed. And then when we look at the organic resource combined with the organic plus nitrogen fertilizer compared to the control. Sorry, this is not OR, it's supposed to be control. And when we look at the quality, we see that it's a similar trend to that of the organic resources added alone, except in this case, we don't have any negatives because the nitrogen tends to avert the deficiencies in the system where you add the organic resources, the low quality organic resources. But again, here with the clay soil, we tend to have greater responses with class 2 compared to class 1 organic resources. And then when we look at the agronomic efficiency, we see that we have sort of a stagnant or a flat slope with fertilizer. So on the x-axis is the nitrogen added, incremental quantities of nitrogen fertilizer added, and on the y-axis we have agronomic efficiency, nitrogen agronomic efficiency. So it's about 25 kilograms grain per kilogram of nitrogen that we have when we add fertilizer throughout. And then when we add fertilizer with class 3 or class 4, you find that the agronomic efficiency is much lower than that of the fertilizer. And similarly, when you add organic resources with the high quality organic resources, the class 1 organic resources with fertilizer, you tend to have much lower agronomic efficiency. You only have a high agronomic efficiency at lower rates of nitrogen fertilizer. As you increase the nitrogen fertilizer, the agronomic efficiency decreases. But when we look at class 2 organic resources, we find that you tend to have greater agronomic efficiency as long as you're adding up to 120 kilograms of nitrogen fertilizer. Beyond 120 kilograms of nitrogen fertilizer, it tends to decline. So the efficiency of the added nitrogen is declining. Whereas with manures and compost, you tend to have the high agronomic efficiency even at the high rate of nitrogen addition. And when we look at the interactive effects, so we believe that they are interactive effects of adding the organic resources with the mineral nitrogen, and we believe that this interactive effects would be positive if the addition of the organic material will be enhanced by the addition of the nitrogen fertilizers. And this is the formula that we used. So when we look at the interactive effects, surprisingly, we have positive interactive effects when we look at the low quality organic resources in the sandy soils. And yet, this is when we add organic resources alone, this is the one that gives the negative yield responses. So the addition of fertilizers with the low quality organic resources tends to avert the negative effects of the low quality. But generally, we tend to have a decrease in the interactive effects with increase in quality. So as you add organic resources with nitrogen fertilizers, with the increase in quality, you tend to have more negative interactive effects. Maybe again, it's because of the diminishing effects of high amounts of nitrogen that are added. When we adapt to the local conditions, so we used the infield-outfield theory, where the infield are the fields that are close to the homestead, and because it's close to the homestead, you tend to have a lot of organic material that is thrown into the field. So the material that is coming from the kitchen, all of that is going to the infields, and you tend to build the fertility of the infields compared to the fields that are further away from the homestead, so the outfields. So you find that even when you look at the control yields, you tend to have higher yields in the infields than in the outfields. And then when you add the ISFM, the organic and mineral nutrient sources, you tend to have high nitrogen agronomic efficiency in the infield than in the outfield. It's about almost twice as much. So 30 kilograms per grain per kilogram of nitrogen compared to about 17 kilograms of grain per kilogram of nitrogen. So in a way, we have shown that this figure where we have the responsive and the non-responsive soils, they tend to react or respond differently from each other. So where you have the responsive soils, you find that the addition of the ISFM will tend to increase the crop productivity and also improve the agronomic efficiency compared to the fields that are less responsive. So in conclusion, our meta-analysis show that yield increases will be in the order of organic resources less than mineral resources and less than the organic resource and mineral resource combined. But again, we have to consider the agronomic efficiency. And then organic resource quality influences crop yield responses, and we tend to have greater responses with low quality organic materials and low quantity, especially in the coarser textured soils. And there are no differences in yield responses between class 2 and class 1, but the nitrogen agronomic efficiency tends to be greater with class 2 organic resources, maybe because of the polyphenol content. And we see that ISFM, or Integrated Soil Fertility Management, provides an entry point to improve crop productivity in sub-Saharan Africa. But from the meta-analysis we did, we see that we lack adequate studies that incorporate all aspects of integrated soil fertility management. Again, this limits the design, sort of limits the applicability of the meta-analysis to the studies. So there are some challenges in meta-analysis in sub-Saharan Africa. I'll highlight a few. A lot of them have been highlighted by Sylvie. The challenges tend to be similar in Africa and the rest of the world. But a lot of literature is only available in gray literature. A lot of the studies are not published, again, maybe because of lack of significant difference or not being able to disprove the null hypothesis. And this sort of poses a challenge with publication bias, which is a requirement for meta-analysis. And personally, I'm not sure how we can go around this, because this is a bigger question with the bigger community. And then in some instances, we also lack measured parameters. So you tend to then estimate based on knowledge of other parameters. And this sort of limits, again, the applicability of meta-analysis. For example, you have some studies that don't even mention the texture of the soil that they use. They don't mention the initial soil fertility conditions, and that affects the interpretation of the data. And then statistical analysis are missing in some of the studies, and if we intend to do a weighted analysis based on the variance from each study, then that limits the meta-analysis. And in some instances, we end up having to do the unweighted analysis, and these are not as robust as the weighted analysis. And then you find that even in studies that are done in the long-term studies, there are limited follow-up measurements in those studies that could sort of enhance our understanding of the studies or of the practice in terms of sustainability. For example, soil organic carbon measurements. If we are adding a lot of organic material and we have repeated measures, it would make sense for me to look at the soil organic carbon changes over time, so that at least we can look at the sustainability. For example, in the first meta-analysis, we tried to look at soil organic carbon changes after the addition of the organic resources, the nitrogen fertilizers, and the combined resources. But out of the 59 studies that we had, only 12 reported soil organic carbon changes. And the conclusions we can make from the 12 is limited compared to if we had more studies that had measured the soil organic carbon. But we can see that addition of organic resources will improve soil organic carbon, and the fertilizers tend to have no effect on the soil organic carbon. Well, it's more positive in terms of the mean, but because the confidence interval, the 95% confidence interval crosses the zero line, it means that there is no effect. But the addition of the combining organic resources with nitrogen fertilizer tends to also increase soil organic carbon content. So we can say something about the sustainability, but we do need more of these studies that do follow up measurements. We have invested in the long-term studies. We might as well take advantage of those long-term studies and measure other parameters. Thank you.
Very well. Any questions for Pauline?
Pauline, great presentation. So I'm wondering if agronomic efficiency is the best measure to be evaluating the different sources by, since you're probably going to have greater potential for a residual nitrogen effect with your organic resources. And I know I think you mentioned that you looked at multiple years or how long the pheromone was in place, but you found no effect of that. You'd expect as they're longer or in place longer that you would start seeing the effect of that residual nitrogen.
Well, for the agronomic efficiency part, we didn't have that many long-term trials, so we didn't have a basis to look at the residual effects. But yes, you're right, the agronomic efficiency may not t- tell us a lot in the first season, but it is an important measure, considering that most of these farmers that we are talking about, they are constrained in terms of resources. So we would want to have an idea of their investment and the output.
Yeah, one more in the last one.
Just a technical question. When you have soils with intrinsic or oxidic properties and spiritual sense like texture, did you group those to the clay or to the sandy soil?
Unfortunately, that's also one of the things that most of the studies do not mention. The plinthic soils are a bit interesting because of their properties, but people, if they mention texture, you are happy to go with that.
Well, thank you very much, Pauline.